Welcome, sports fans. All right, I'm all mic'd up now. I'm ready to go. Sorry, I was texting, looking at baseball, talking all kinds of sports. It just got crazy. I kind of got rushed right there right before we went. I'm your host, Kenny B. Welcome to the ESPN William Hill Sports Radio Show. Coming to you live from Club County on ESPN 94.5 FM with Josh Nagel to my right from Sportsline. What's going on, Josh?
Ken, how are you? Doing well. Like you mentioned, Friday night, just about. We got a lot of stuff going on, overlapping NBA playoffs, lots of baseball going on, and everything's on the screens here at the Club Caliva.
Did you spend your $1,000?
I didn't. Well,
what?
Not all in one place and not just yet, but one thing I think I may have mentioned last week. Or
I thought you were going to bet it all on
that boxing match?
Yeah, the boxing match.
Yeah, I did a little bit, but that didn't work out. Amir Khan didn't really show up. But more than anything, I honestly had a less than stellar run during March Madness, so you honoring the wager helped me recover a little bit of that damage, so I appreciate it because I was able to restore some bankroll there. So I haven't blown it all yet, but yeah, that was a pretty disappointing fight, although I thought, 11-1, I thought Khan had a chance, but I've never seen, he looked non-competitive. There was like a low blow, basically, that happened. It was legit. They stopped the fight and let you take a timeout, and he just quit as opposed to going on. It was in the sixth round. He hadn't been.
Got his money.
Sometimes you just know.
Yeah, that was, put it this way. Yeah,
exactly, John.
That was a way out, and that was pretty disappointing. But it's just where I said, it's a sad story of Amir Khan, because a few years ago, he was in the pound-for-pound top five conversation, and I think a string of bad management and inactivity led to, he went from his mid-20s, one of the world's most exciting fighters, to now in his early 30s, and I want to say washed up, but he's more or less resigned to second-tier opponents. I mean, they even said Crawford took the fight because Conor was the biggest name out there who was willing to fight him, while Errol Spence, all the other stuff gets worked out and no one else was available. But Conor's done that a few times now. I said he moved up a couple of classes to fight Canelo a few years ago.
To get paid.
Yeah, exactly. For a while there, though, he was one of the top welterweights. Then he's just sad because I feel like he's deteriorated just based on inactivity and poor management.
Well, that's the thing. I was shocked at 11-1 just knowing the name Amir Khan. You know, I didn't realize he had had such a precipitous fall, but yeah, there he is.
Right. And unfortunately, like I said, unlike Canelo, where he was competitive in that fight until he got tagged and he was outboxing him. He was outclassed by Crawford. He wasn't going to win anyway, but it just seemed like pretty anticlimactic, or like a low blow. They even, it's the standard process where you have 5 minutes to recover, and then if you can't, it's like a technical. You go to the scorecards after that because it's deemed accidental, so there's no disqualification. But they gave him the time, and he's like, nah, I'm good. I can't, can't go.
I'm good.
So nice play for Vlad Jr. right here.
Is that what John is just, like John just said, Josh, sometimes it's, just take my money.
What happened to Oliver McCall that night?
He took his money.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
I don't know why that popped into my head.
I saw a story on him a while ago because he's one of the biggest stories in heavyweight history. And you know what's funny?
Let's try and remember to ask Terry and tell me that.
Because he pretty much had, as we know, what he's infamous for now is like having that crazy breakdown in the ring. What he was first famous for, was knocking out Lennox Lewis.
Yeah.
And then in the rematch, having what appeared to be a bit of a mental breakdown and just walking away and quitting in most bizarre
circumstances. Doesn't defend himself.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy, though? Of all those fights, he ended up with a really good record. People don't realize, so maybe he had some issues or whatever. But in all that time, I think he had 70-odd heavyweight fights. He's never once been knocked down.
Mills was the referee, wasn't he?
Yeah. Even in that fight where it looked like he was giving up and taking clean shots from Lennox, he still never went down. And then, so he kind of faded into the twilight or whatever. But I saw a story about him because he had always held, ever since that, some public interest. But even before all that came about, he was known as a very solid heavyweight, never a guy to give up or anything. But these days, it's pretty cool. He's never
been knocked out, right?
No, it's not, because I said he's famous for, he's never been knocked down.
Knocked down,
70-plus heavyweight fights.
That's
but
impressive.
These days, there's like a small boxing gym wherever he's from. I want to say Northeast New Jersey, somewhere like that.
I saw
he's
a special
basically
on this.
Running. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. He's running like a boxing gym where he's teaching all these kids, the basics of the sport or whatever, and doing it just for the passion. That's what he's doing. He seems, completely lucid and not, unstable or whatever mentally and whatever. They talk about, he talks fondly about his career, and he just seems to be, doing well for himself. So that's what happened. But you talk about, some of the more bizarre moments in boxing, that would be one. The heavyweight guy just starts, in that fight rematch with Lennox Lewis, he just starts walking around, talking to himself, and seemed to not be completely there.
It's crazy, something. Everybody knows, the legendary local Mills Lane, the boxing referee, the father of Terry and Tommy Lane, who are actually with Let's Get It On Promotion, and they just booked another fight to be coming to here in Reno on June 8th. I talked to Terry and Tommy Lane both today, And they're in New York right now, so but they're going to be coming on the show as we get closer to the fight and do some promotion. And so good. It's June 8th. So but, you know, before we get to this card and talking about what you guys are talking about, and Mills, John, you know, asking if he did the Oliver McCall fight, he did the fan man fight.
Yeah.
So you know, if you
with the Evander and Ridley,
he was there.
Tyson
did the ear bite, pretty much
every high profile fight where there's just crazy happened. Mills,
correct
was
if I'm wrong, did he not did. Did he not do the No Mas fight?
Yes,
Roberto Duran?
Yeah.
Roberto Duran, No Mas?
Yeah.
So you're talking about the greatest guy I've ever met. He was a dear, dear friend of mine. And, you know, it's just tragic whatever happened, you know, whatever his stroke and everything and the way it ended so suddenly. You know, God bless the man. I love the guy. I love his wife, Kay, you know, Terry, Tommy Lane. And, you know, I'm fortunate to keep in touch with the family. And they're going to be on the and they're great to tell fights, too. So they'll have great fights, you know, great fight stories about Mills.
It's always
Mills.
Fun when they're here.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you get Tommy on the hooch a little bit.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So, but they do June 8th. They got Let's Get
I think Terry's taking the lead, though, is my favorite again.
It's
always a competition.
So you got JD always likes to call the cool lane.
Tommy the Kool-Aid.
Like Terry will come in and then Tommy will walk in. Oh, the Kool-Aid's here. So
But Terry's gone out of his way to change that profile.
Yeah. Well, it's like he wants your approval.
For some reason.
Hey, can I be the Kool-Aid
yeah,
for a while?
Exactly.
So it's funny stuff. But they'll be in town here soon. Yeah, the fight card is June 8th. They announced that Let's Get It On promotions. Oscar Valdez, I don't know if you guys know about him, Josh. You may or may not. He's the WBO featherweight champion. He's undefeated, 25-0 with 20 knockouts, 28-year-old. This guy, Terry and Tommy have been talking about this guy for a long time, you know, and they're finally able to get him in the backyard. Going to be at the Reno Convention Center, like I said, on June 8th. And he's not fighting any tomato can. Eric, and Iturate, is that close enough, Josh? But he's 21-1, so he's actually got a formidable opponent, you know, stepping in the ring with him, you know, being his sixth title defense, you know, as the undefeated featherweight champion of the world, WBO champ.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, I think Valdez, he's fought here a few times, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had him, mm-hmm. so he's become to at least have some local, you know, association with his name attached to it. And like you mentioned, it's nice to see where there's an up and coming fighter and kind of the featured guy, and it's not just, you know, some glorified club fighter's opponent with a 12-12 record and nobody, right, no chance to win. I mean, that's obviously a pretty legit opponent he's facing.
Yes, I love live boxing. I love that the lanes are putting another show on, and I'm sure they're going to have a few more fights and make a good night of it.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the undercards yet. So, J.J. Moreno, actually the local kid from the Nevada Boxing Club, is making his pro debut.
Sweet.
You know what they like to do on these local? They always like to get one of these local kid here, you know, to make his debut. And J.J. Moreno, he'll be on the card. He's from the Nevada Boxing Club making his pro debut. I don't know. I'm looking to see real quick. I don't have who his opponent will be, but, you know, he'll be on the card too. So full slate of fights. Like I said, we'll get Terry and Tommy Lane on here, you know, before the fight card for Let's Get On Promotions, which is going to be June 8th. Is there any other boxing?
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. stepping to the plate.
Is there any other boxing coming
Dad would have swung at that.
Boxing coming up, Josh?
Yeah, there's a few. Decent fights. The super fighters are hard to come by, but the one I've been meaning to mention, which I don't have in front of me, it's the May 4th weekend, though. Canelo's back in action, and the price on his opponent, Daniel Jacobs, keeps going up. I think that's worth a shot. The last I checked, Jacobs was at plus 350, and he started, I think, at plus 275.
We got a home run.
And he's alive.
Oh, no! He caught it up at the top of the wall. What a play. Oh, he blistered this ball.
Canelo Alvarez
minus Daniel Jacobs.
450 plus 370.
Yeah, that's a huge price, Ken. Like I said, that's actually gone up by about a dollar. And if you follow the fights, you know, I think the kid's a live dog because he was the first guy, Ken, who gave Triple G a real fight a few years ago when Golovkin was really coming into his own, starting to dominate the middleweight division. They wondered if anyone was going to be able to step up to him before he ended up having that series of fights with Canelo. Daniel Jacobs stepped in there and went 12 hard rounds with him. He got knocked down in the second, but, you know, got back up and fought him hard the rest of the way. And that's one of those things where if you follow boxing, you know, those are the names that come to mind in middleweight.
Replay.
Everyone knows, you know, who Golovkin is, and they know who Canelo is. But if you follow boxing closely, people know Danny Jacobs is a really well-respected fighter. He's tough as they come. And for that good of a price, you're going to get a sweat for sure.
As Josh is talking boxing, we'll get back to that real quick. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. making his pro debut, just blistered a ball deep left field right down the line, and the left fielder made a great catch.
I thought it was gone.
Papa Vladimir is just laughing. And everybody's just like high-fiving. Tyson Fury, too, Josh. I know he's a huge favorite versus Tom Schwartz. Has he fought since the meltdown? Has he had one fight?
I don't think he hasn't had a fight since that draw against Wilder. That was, sort of disputed.
Tainted a little bit?
Yeah.
Have to look into that. Have to get Terry and Tommy. William Hill has a bunch of fights on here. I don't actually look at all these guys, that are on this card. Fired up the mobile sports app. I don't know any of these guys. Canelo Alvarez versus Daniel Jacob, like you said.
Take a look at Jacobs.
And Deontay Wilder, too, Josh.
Against
Dominique.
Dominique Brazil. I don't really know who that is either. I thought they had a different – keep going. I thought there was
a different heavyweight
fight. He might have stepped in because I thought he had a different opponent that I was familiar with, but not those guys.
All right. Reno Aces play tonight, guys, and everybody knows you can bet on minor league baseball now. They play Fresno tonight. Fresno's -145. 11 is the total. Fireworks night tonight, 6:35 game time. Three-game set tonight. They're still playing Albuquerque, right?
Fresno.
6:35 tonight. Early game tomorrow. Early game, 4 p.m.
We'll be there.
I know. And 1:05 on Sunday. So 4 o'clock on Saturday. 1 o'clock on Sunday, then Vegas comes into town for a four-game set. 6:35, 11, 6:35, and 6:35. Aces off to a 6-14 start. But the good thing is, it's like I said, you can bet Ace ball right now. -145 Fresno, and the total is 11. John, you're probably looking for an overnight price on the Aces.
I am.
You'd be betting it over.
I'll be betting over. That's
Sight unseen,
regardless of what it is. I see 11. And I consider that Coors Field over here at Great America, whatever it's called now, Great Basin. What is it called? Greater Nevada Field.
How about the kid hitting 3 home runs last night?
Oh, is that right?
They had the guy, they pumbled him last night at Fresno, and the kid hit 3 home runs. He said he was mad. I read this online today. He was mad because he's a Giants fan, and they took the quarterback in as the first selection.
Oh, okay.
The Duke kid.
Yeah.
So he said that he was mad. There's an article right now, or I could pull it up right here. It was on the front page, and I was like, what is this all about? Reno Aces. So the kid hits 3 home runs. The last one was a grand slam, too.
Yeah, sight unseen, we're going over.
We're going over. That's what I would do. You don't want to go there and drink some pops and start thinking about you're going to bet an Aces game under when
no.
It could be 6-5 after 2.
Yeah, not a chance.
So not a chance. You've been in the Aces?
Yeah, that would be rough, Ken. Like I said, especially those Triple A games, those totals.
You run out of arms, ball starts flying, whiskey starts flowing. Next thing you know, Jed's a millionaire.
And you're stuck. You can't, you can't get out of the end game. There's no end game, so you not like you can bet the other side if you get stuck on.
I wonder what the limits are at William Hill on betting minor league baseball.
Probably pretty low, you would think.
Well, it was one way to find out.
Yeah, I'm curious what that would be. So the betting limits. Exactly. I could go up there right now and just say we
can. Oh, goodness. The Browns got Greedy Williams.
Oh, they got a little cornerback from LSU. A lot of stuff going on, Jack, real quick. All right, so Fresno tonight, 6:35. If you're looking for something to do, it's fireworks night. I think tomorrow's Kids Run the Bases night, John, so you can bring your – you don't have any children.
Well, a fall will be with me.
That's true. He can get out there, and then he can run the bases. So little bullet.
I might have one.
Might have one?
Yeah.
All right.
I think William Hill should set up a betting stand at the ballpark they have in all the soccer arenas internationally where there's a sports book built in.
There's an app for that,
walk,
Josh.
Walk right up.
All you got to do is fire up the app.
Walk right up and get your bet on the game along with your popcorn.
Yeah.
I want to see what the let's talk a little bit real quick, John, since we're on the baseball.
Yeah.
How awesome was Nevada baseball last week playing Oregon State?
It was a lot of fun.
It was on TV, Channel 21, absolutely just crazy.
I wish I wasn't working on Tuesday to go to the noon start, $2 beers, $1 hot dog, another extra inning classic. That was something. It doesn't mean a whole lot to win these midweek games against this team, but, you sweep the defending national champion, number 2 team in the nation. That means something.
Yeah, I guess when you talk about going to the regionals and the super regionals and all that stuff, when you look at the body of work.
It's a resume game.
I think that if we would have beat them last year, we probably would have gotten an at-large bid. But I think that this year they're kind of struggling a little bit, you know, and they didn't even bounce back well today. Air Force took it to them today, took them to the woodshed, 13-3.
Yeah, there you go.
13-3. Air Force gets 5 in the bottom of the first, and then 6 in the third. So by the end of the after 3, it was 11-1. So
yeah, that's tough,
you know,
to come back from.
That's baseball, though, you know. It just, yeah. But you know,
San Jose Sharks are the only team that can come back from something like that.
Yeah, which we'll get to that in a little bit. So, but it's exciting to watch those kids. It meant a lot to those Nevada Wolves. You know, we went down and played them, you know, on the road last year and lost 2 extra inning games, and we were in both games. I mean, yeah. It was heartbreaking. I mean, I remember watching those games till wee hours of the night and just being you know, imploding on the mound and walking the bases loaded, but you know, and then to come back in this game and give up a 2-run bomb in the top half of the inning. Then the Aces come back and score 2 in the bottom half of the inning. And then they get the walk-off home run, John. How about that?
First pitch, bottom of the 10th, gone.
Did you hear the announcer?
I did. He thought it was Gannon Corbin.
He goes, oh, yeah, ball, that's popped at the left. He's on it. He's moving back. He's going back. He's going back.
Yes.
He's going back.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, Reno
Air. Piccoli special right there.
Exactly. Talking about betting games over. So, you know, congratulations to the University of Nevada men's baseball team. You know, taking 2.
I would like to see a series like that at the Aces ballpark.
Why not?
You know, I know that they put a lot of money into Piccoli and
sure.
Getting everything like that, but wouldn't you be more
sure.
apt to go if it was at Greater Nevada Field there?
Respectfully, and when the number 2 team comes to the nation, when the number 2 team in the nation comes to town, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, they should have scheduled that. Were the Aces on the road?
Yeah, the Aces weren't there.
Wow. I didn't even think about it, John. That's a great, great point. We should do that.
Yeah.
We should start lobbying for that. And when these teams come like that, why not? Reno plays the Aces there, so let's just go ahead and just have another game.
Sure.
Why not? Maybe they want that true home field advantage.
That's true. And like I said, they've done a lot of, you know, it's Don Weir Field now. They've done a lot of renovations and improved Piccoli.
Which we appreciate, Mr. Weir. We appreciate
it. And I love Piccoli as it is, but it just seems like some of that magnitude, you could promote that, you could get it rolling. And
sure.
I don't know.
Oh. All right. Let's
or the Mountain West Tournament.
Even better. That'd be fantastic. And that's cool. That would be a great,
which we host
great
this year.
Facility, and theoretically you wouldn't have a home field advantage.
Yeah.
You know, so that'd be, that, you know, why not? That'd be outstanding. That's another great, great idea.
I'm thinking, Ken.
I know, I see you. So let's head out to first commercial break. We've still got a lot of sports to talk about. William Hill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B., here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline and John the Hawk Stevens. You can like the show on Facebook at Kenny B., ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, that's on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Ken Barter. That's my first and last name, just KenBarlor. That's my Twitter account. I'm starting to get a lot more active in Twitter, and I'm starting to call people out. Josh Nagel, you can get his stuff on Sportsline.
Correct, and at Josh Nagel 1 on Twitter as well. Thank you.
Josh, you got a lot of articles out right now?
For sure. Like I said, we've got so much going on, and we're covering it as well as we can, like everything from NFL draft, pro basketball, playoffs, golf, NASCAR, you name it. It's all on sportsline.com.
And John the Hawk Stevens does not like to be bothered with,
leave me alone.
Yeah, with fan mail or opinion. So, but you can find John. He's very, very involved in our Facebook page. So, you know, if you're looking to ask John a question or you want to say something, you know, you can look him up on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Well, our board guy's got a Las Vegas Knights hat on, and he's been sitting here quiet all day. And I told him, I said, mic up. He goes, man, if I mic up and start talking about this hockey game, he goes, Chase and our board guy back at the ESPN studios is going to start having guy on Jeopardy pushing the button to get the questions, you know, you know, buzzing out all these 8 seconds. I talked to Nick about that guy today, too. Interesting stuff. I can talk to you guys off the air about it. So, but sorry, listeners. But with that being said, San Jose plays tonight. They advanced with the seventh game victory over the Las Vegas Knights. San Jose's -130 tonight, plus Colorado's +110. But before we get into that, what a travesty by hockey. I mean, and what a year of just weird results. You know, going back from the Rams and the Saints game, the blatant pass interference.
Do not equate this with that.
The double dribble. Okay, the double dribble that wasn't called in the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
The blatant double dribble.
In the Final Four there,
but there's a pretty standard rule in hockey. If they don't see the play, you kind of go with what the result was. If a guy's laying there in a pool of blood, then it's a major. It's just kind of the way that they operate. Yeah, it wasn't. It probably shouldn't have been. But it was.
Hockey said no.
Eventually, yeah, they want to appease all these. No offense, Vegas fans, but It's, you know, it. You've seen that call a million times if you watch any sort of hockey. If they don't see what happened, if you see blood, they make a call. It's what it is. It's what they do. It's what they've always done.
Wow. Yeah. You know, we're recapping Game 7 between the San Jose Sharks and the Las Vegas Knights, and you know Vegas has a three goal lead somewhere around the 10 minute mark of the third
10-01.
Period at 10:01 of the third period, and there's a face off, and the guy cross checks him, and they call a 5 minute major, and it goes from a 3-0 lead from Vegas to a 4-3 lead. They gave up four goals in four minutes. And I think Josh made a comment too when we were talking about it before the game. There's nothing that said that you had to give up the goals, right, Josh?
That's exactly right.
So
that's one thing. Yeah, it's bad call or not. It's like you didn't have to just collapse like that. And it's interesting, Ken, because you mentioned, you know, it does seem like it's funny. All the instances you mentioned, there's even more. But to me, it seems like this is quickly evolving into a year of blame the ref, and I'm just done with it. Like,
exactly.
Seriously. I mean, the Rams-Saints thing, they forget that game actually went to overtime, and they had a possession and blew it, and Breeze got intercepted.
Yep.
The Virginia thing, I mean, and this is how dumb was Auburn. Again, how one of the teams going to learn to not foul just because you have fouls to get. The Ty Jerome double dribble thing, that actually even came after the Auburn player tried to rip his jersey. The whole reason he dribbled it off his leg is he was held while he spins. So to me, those are, you know, pretty much a wash. But they're fouling with 1.5 seconds left, and all you did was give Virginia a free timeout to then throw it into Kyle Guy when he got. So it's just one of those things. I mean, bad calls happen in every game, and I don't like to see something ever that potentially influences it, you know, the outcome. But whenever fans on one side, like again the Saints, and you're basically petitioning Congress or whatever to get the game overturned. I mean, some of this stuff is just ridiculous. Bad calls happen in every game. And I'm tired of the blame the ref narrative and everything, because whether it was Virginia against, you know, whoever, whether it was Purdue or Auburn or even Texas Tech, everyone wants to think of what. I mean, you really think the refs are in some sort of conspiracy on that? It just drives me nuts. Same thing at Tennessee, Purdue. Like I said, the car said, and I lost. I was on Tennessee. The more I looked at it, I was like, you know what? Yeah, the guy's got a right to land. It was a foul. I didn't like it, but it was a foul.
Exactly. And you never want it to come down to that. As a long, almost 30 years into the franchise history of the Sharks now, long suffering, it's about time that franchise got a break, to tell you the truth.
Notorious for playoff failure.
The exact opposite is what usually happens as a Sharks fan. And
you mean blowing a 3-1 lead and a 3-0 lead in Game 7?
They blew a 3-0 lead against.
Look at our board guys. I'm getting fired up.
Games to none. The last year the Kings won the Stanley Cup, the Sharks had a 3-0 lead. And you on this show said, well, this series is over. And I was like, oh, Kenny.
Oh.
You never watched a Sharks game.
Yeah, well.
So as I make no apologies as a Sharks fan, that was one of the greatest victories from a fandom aspect I've ever experienced. I don't know how those guys play. I needed to take a nap after that game just watching it. I don't know how these guys play and play at that level. And Vegas, what a great! I think those were the two best teams in the West, and they just happened to meet in the first round. And Vegas, I love watching Vegas play. I love everything about that, and it's unfortunate it happened the way it did. But make no apologies, Sharks fans. We know what we've been through, and it's about time the good guys got one. So hopefully they don't have an emotional letdown against a really good Avalanche team that handled their business against Calgary.
Yeah.
So what we're going to see tonight.
I agree, John. You know, what I find amazing too is, you know, how this is the Vegas's second year in the league, right?
Yeah.
How do the Vegas fans have so much hatred for the Sharks already?
Well, how do we have so much hatred for them as well?
Well, it's why?
It's because in that division.
Well, okay,
the Sharks.
But you don't just. I see
Sharks
what you're
fans dismiss Vegas as the new little.
Is this
pest.
Right? Is this right?
Exactly what it is.
Absolutely. Oh, he is mic'd up. Oh, he did get mic'd up. All right.
It's exactly.
I didn't
what
see
it is.
He had a headset on. I thought he just had the yeah. So chime in, buddy. Let's hear it.
Well, I'm what?
Well, I don't know. You got the Vegas hat on. You said you were going to cuss up a storm. Jason, be ready back there.
Forget Forget the 3-0 lead in Game 7. How did you let it get to Game 7 is the question.
Yeah, but that's – when it comes down to it, we were dominating them for 50 minutes in Game 7. So
for sure.
I don't think we should be talking about Game 5 or 6. I mean
– well, could have won those two.
No, I understand. I understand what you're saying. And I agree that we shouldn't have given up four goals in 5 minutes or whatever, but – I just think there should be a rule change or something, kind of like a technical in basketball, yeah, or like the new PI call in the NFL, to where they can review majors, just because.
Oh, it's coming.
Just because major calls.
You should have to look at it.
So
it's just, yeah, that's the way it's always been. If they don't see it and you see blood, they're going to make that call, yeah, every, yeah, time.
Especially
on the captain.
It's kind of equivalent to this, guys. The NBA didn't used to have the flagrant foul, but now they do. This is going to – I'll bet you that when they go to five-minute, yeah, majors and stuff now, it's probably going to be reviewed because it does affect the game so greatly.
Yeah, yeah.
The Golden Knights owner already came out and said that they're going to ask for that in the next owner's.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
And I would agree with that.
I'm not even a hockey owner, and I'm
you're
smart.
Not? I think you should still have a five-minute major, but the power play would be over if you scored that first goal.
Or maybe after
like
two,
a regular,
maybe two.
Maybe two.
But not, it's not.
How about four?
It's not like, it's like getting a flagrant foul in basketball. He says, listen, you get to shoot free throws until you miss.
Yes.
So
exactly.
After the second goal, you don't, as a Sharks fan, you don't want to let yourself believe, but then it's like, oh my God, yeah, what if they do this? It was unbelievable. And it just, the whole series.
But the game went to overtime, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Marcelo tied it with 47 seconds left, and you're like, oh, here we go again. So you think when you go back into the –
And the Knights – did the Knights blow the game before that on a short by giving up a shorthanded goal
on a shorty by Thomas Hurdle.
Good Lord.
Yeah. It was an amazing series. I know you're not much of a hockey fan, but even,
oh boy,
even our buddy Kyle was like, if hockey's like this, I'm going to watch hockey. And I said, well, it kind of is.
Dangan Negreanu, he's a huge professional poker player.
Yeah.
And he's a huge, huge hockey fan, yeah, enormous Knights fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I follow him on Twitter. I don't interact with him. I don't know him that – I don't know him on, you know, like on that level. But, you know, he just – I just fired up. I mean, just –
My buddy Thad's a season ticket holder for Vegas, and he was just gutted. He's like, man, I can't even – because we've been just talking mess back to each other. And I was just like, I'm sorry, dude. That was awful.
But as a Vegas fan, your inaugural year, look at what you accomplished. I mean, you guys.
You can't expect that.
That's my whole point. It's failure. It's failure. I mean, it's like, oh, we go to the Stanley Cup every year. But when you don't, it's like you didn't have to struggle through the lows of, yeah, being a first-time franchise and getting your teeth kicked in and earning your stripes.
Sharks' first year, they used to have puck lines of like 5 and 6. They'd be getting like a touchdown,
yeah,
in a hockey game, and they wouldn't cover.
Yeah.
It was amazing. So there was a lot of resentment and jealousy from Sharks fans when you see Vegas going to a cup in their first year.
First year.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
I think the sweep had a lot to do with that rivalry,
yeah,
too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So there's a little envy from this side towards Vegas, but that's a great team to watch. If it wasn't the Sharks, I would want it to be Vegas, honestly. I know it doesn't seem that way the way I talk about them privately and publicly, but that was, God, it was such a series. Now they got to regroup. A new season starts tonight against the Avalanche. Who would have thought the Avalanche would be there? It's wide open for the Sharks right now.
You know, it goes right now. Sharks
to win it all.
Sharks right now are, what do we got here? -135 on the money line. It opened up at -130, or it opened up at -135. So a little bit of money's coming in on Colorado tonight. It's down to 130, and then the total is 6 with the over at -125. That's a big total, don't you guys think?
It is a big total.
And look at this first game right here. The Hurricanes and the Islanders, they made this total 5.5, and yeah, it switched to the over being the favorite.
Oh, we got an Islander goal!
Oh, as soon as I say that, we got a goal.
See, before the Sharks existed, I used to root for the Islanders, so I kind of got a dog in this event as well.
So
it's the only team that I had, only sport that I have more than one team in.
Josh, I need you to weigh in on some hockey. I know you've been sitting there.
Saber still alive?
Sitting there, just openly, just.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What do you got?
I think I'd like the Avalanche tonight for no other reason than
the emotional.
Yeah, it has to be a letdown after that type of wild game the other night. You just can't imagine them to immediately turn around and be able to give another, you know, top level performance. I mean, you just feel like a flat spot's coming there, and the Avalanche have had a little extra rest. I just think that's why you're seeing Colorado money. I would like that one.
Sharks are 7-2-1 against them in the last 10, swept the season series this year. I know you can kind of throw that stuff out, but I mean it's a team that the Sharks can handle. The Sharks do handle. So if I think the emotional letdown is the only way that you could look at it this way as an Avalanche bet tonight.
From the emotional aspect.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, how could you not have a letdown after what they just did? It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, so one of our listeners says the Sharks, he goes, hockey's not going to overact from this. It's a five-minute major will remain the same. We're not saying that the five-minute major shouldn't remain the same. We're just saying, is it something that could be reviewable?
What would dictate that five-minute major is what we're saying.
Any five-minute major.
Yeah.
I mean, because it does affect the game so much. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that when you get into playoff
hockey's funny, though. Hockey may not be as proactive and progressive to go back and change that. Hockey's been hockey for all this time.
You know what's funny? Again, we talked about there's so much. You know, furor over that New Orleans pass interference call. They finally did. Remember, I've mentioned this before, how the CFL actually has pass interference reviews. You realize that's on now in the NFL. They already passed it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what they think now. Another thing, you know, okay, now you can challenge whether it was or it wasn't pass interference. So if it's called, you can challenge to have it reversed,
or
if it's not called.
Because it's like it's the equivalent to the five-minute major. Because
you
throw a ball 50 yards, 56 yards down the field, you're talking about changing a game.
Right, because now I want to see what
happens. You're assuming the guy's going to catch it anyways.
Throughout the course of the regular season, though, I want to see what happens. But now you challenge pass interference.
Oh.
Another subjective call. Yes. You know, what's it going to take for them to overturn it?
So somebody has their hands
slide right. How many instances we're going to see, right, where it was called and they reverse it or the opposite, where it's like, okay, a subjective call to begin with, and now, right, what determines indisputable evidence?
Sure.
I don't like replay as it is, so I'm going to hate this.
Me either.
And they suspended the officials for the rest of the playoffs, too, so as you guys
I know, let's not overreact.
But,
Vegas
back,
blew a three-goal lead, regardless of how it happened.
And going back to what you said, Josh, you know, reviewing pass interference calls, you know, if you play it in slow motion, you can call pass interference on every call, because maybe a guy is just got his hand on the guy just to try and feel how the distance between him
and
the player.
It's a moving
next
target. Like, what is the defender allowed to do? They're already at such a disadvantage anyway. And you're right. Oh, is a little hip check okay? A little hand on the back that doesn't impede his progress, is that okay? But occasionally it's not. And you're right. Pretty much every play, every
holding and pass interference,
and almost every
incompletion
in the NFL, the receiver or quarterback wants interference.
Listen,
I mean, it's, you know, there's very few that are just so indisputable. It's just a clean deflection. And
the next thing that's going to come is that I'm still of the belief that LeBron James has never fouled an individual in his entire NBA career.
Neither Magic Johnson.
Or Tim Duncan, since retired.
I mean, but LeBron just gets so crazy every time. He's just astounded, like that's the worst call going back before fifth grade when he was playing. It's just crazy. So, but like you said, Josh, John, that you have to draw a line somewhere. But, you know, when you have these major penalties, you know, pass interferences over 50 yards, flagrant fouls, five-minute majors, things of this nature, they truly do change the game.
Yeah.
And those are the calls that you have to try your best to get correct.
Yeah, Ken, it's funny you mentioned the NBA with the flagrants. I mean, it's kind of funny because that's a somewhat recent phenomenon, right, within the last 10 years. Oh, flagrant one, two, and they're just really trying to, you know, clean it up. I mean, get to where the game's so finesse and it's high scoring and people are enjoying it, and that's great. But these days, I think it's funny when you see the highlights. We realize we're so far removed from it now. But what this, you know, stems from, if you see some highlights now, like late 80s, early 90s with, like, the Knicks and Pistons. And back in the day, it's so funny. That was just, like, a given consequence. So if you, like, came in the Lane Beer stuff, I mean, guys were just getting clotheslined. I mean, just completely mauled. And all it was two shots. There was never this, you know, flagrant, out-of-the-game stuff. I mean, guys were just getting hammered, and that was just how the game was played.
Yeah, and you think, look at the reverse side, too. What do you look at the reverse side, the call that's not called that maybe should be a five-minute or something like that. So did they waved off the goal?
Waved off the goal. I'm not sure exactly why, but I saw the huddle. They used the replay right there.
There you go. They used the replay. Oh, they can get that right.
They can get that right.
So let me get this straight.
They got that right, too. Listen, you don't.
You can review something that's worth one goal, but something that might be worth four or five.
Here's the lesson.
Oh, man.
If you're up 3-0, do not leave Joe Pavelski in a pool of blood on his home ice if you want to win that series. It's called karma.
Is that right?
Yes, it's right.
Yeah. It was a momentum swing.
Listen, no apologies. The Sharks have been
recipients.
Oh, my God, so many times.
Right. After that penalty call, when the Sharks came out and the Knights came out, you could tell it was two different
teams. It was. It really was.
Yeah. Changed everything.
Yep.
All right, let's head off to our commercial break. Windmill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back. Windmill Sports Show talking hockey. A little bit later tonight, Sharks Avalanche are going to drop the puck about 7:10. Sharks being about a 130 favorite versus Colorado for this game, 130 for the series. So what do you guys like in this game? I mean, I know that we're talking about the first game. You guys talked about the emotional letdown, Josh.
Yeah, again, that's the only angle, because I don't really know, you know, the X's and O's of hockey, but just basically in any sport, where you saw something that wild take place, and then they turn around and play it a couple days later, I would go against the team that, you know, went through such an emotional thing. But again, we'll see. Apparently, Johnny says, you know, in terms of on the ice, they've dominated the matchup, but maybe they're already past it.
They have. I mean, there's a couple one goal games in that stretch there, so it wasn't a, you know, a thorough domination. But I think if the Sharks can weather the storm early, not fall down by too much, not go down two goals, anything like that, and then just get back to playing hockey, you're the better team.
It does help they're at home.
It helps tremendously that they're at home. That's one of the best home ice advantages in hockey.
Well, and to the excitement from the crowd to get your players into the game.
Exactly. And, you know, athletes aren't going to have problems dialing it back up. There's got to be a hangover, though. There just has to be. So, I don't know. Bet the Avalanche in the first period, maybe. I don't.
All right.
The Sharks are just the better team, so I always have a problem putting my money on the worst team.
Let's see.
Right. Prolog- Curious about the Avalanche. It's probably a huge price, right, to take
but,
a goal and
But
a
that
half,
being but. Said, I watched a lot of that Avalanche Flames series, and that team is so fast. They just move. They they're playing very well. They're on fire, and they've had some time to heal. They've had some time off here. So, you know, I think the Avalanche is probably the play tonight.
First period, the Sharks are minus 135. The total for the first period is 1.5, and the over is minus 150. What do you think? You got an opinion on this, on the Sharks in the rebound game, or are you just anti-Shark versus anybody right now?
Yeah. I mean, I, of course I want them to lose. whether I think they're going to is a different story. I don't know. I don't really. I think it's going to be an interesting game. I didn't think the Avalanche were going to beat Calgary in the first place.
No.
I don't even know.
That's a one versus eight.
That
That's an eight sweeping a one.
Did you
in both leagues?
I was just going to say that.
Hockey above any other sport. If you make the playoffs, you have a shot.
You're alive.
You're alive. Unbelievable.
So who's going to win the series?
Sharks will win the series in six.
All right, six. 9-2. You can get 9-2. 2-4, 6-8. So that's about 4.5-1. You get 4.5-1 for the Sharks in six. Six or seven. Josh?
Well, that's a pretty sweet price. One thing I like, we see that in the NBA as well, but sometimes those futures on how the series is deciding an exact number of games, so those are pretty sweet, especially if you're zeroed in. I mean, I've hit a few in the past few years with the Warriors when you just decide, you know,
do well in baseball,
the opponent's going to win one or two or whatever, and those are some pretty sweet odds.
Yep.
And let's face it, there's nowhere else. Like, for instance, if you want to bet the Warriors against the – even the Rockets, it would be tighter this year. But by and large, there's no value. You're going to lay such a thick price. You're actually probably better off doing the exact prop right there.
Boy, I think the Rockets are live there.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. Everyone thinks that it's like it's a little embarrassing that the Warriors, I'm sure we'll talk about it, as they go to Game 6 with the Clippers. But I'm still of the belief. I believe it when I see it with Mike D'Antoni. I just think there's always a ceiling with his style of play, and it's shown up. Yeah, they always at some point he missed 24 straight threes, whatever. Last year they had a chance, but they went, you know, that thing. They missed 20 threes in a row in the decisive game, and
Chris Paul,
they always go cold
seven
at some point. That's true. But yeah, but the idea that, oh, they for sure would have won it with him, I'm not sure.
No chance they for sure would have won it, but I would have loved to see it.
I would have liked to see it, too.
I'm a huge Chris Paul mark.
I'm all for the Warriors going. I think, I would like to see them not win this year. I think the Milwaukee Bucks have a chance to beat them. But
like I always say, I'm a Sixer fan who's always rooted for the Warriors. It was more fun when they weren't the greatest team in the world.
Exactly.
But it's – I kind of hope that they – having some struggles here. It's weird.
No, they will. I mean, the Rockets, again, will give them a series for sure, but I'd rather, it's just one of those things. I still believe in the long run. The Rockets, I don't think the Rockets are getting past them still.
Little Vlad, high drive, right field, caught.
He's hitting the ball hard.
Oh, he squares it up, man.
So, like we said tonight, Clippers, Warriors, 7:05 tip-off, man. What a crazy game.
How about Lou Williams, huh?
Incredible. And
six are great.
The Clippers, here we are, number 1-8, John. You were talking about all the ones getting upset in hockey. Here we are having a 1-8. The Clippers have went to Golden State and won two games. Now they get to go home down three. I mean, why are they not live in this game? They're getting 10 points at home.
It's got to be.
What makes, I just see that, there's a lot of just, I've heard so much negative talk about Golden State and just,
that's the thing.
People feeling like the team chemistry is missing.
Yeah.
They're talking about Durant being traded and bickering behind the lines and things of that nature. I think the money line is live. I watched that last game. They do not fear Golden
they
State.
They don't fear him at all.
Absolutely
and
do that, not fear that
and
team.
And that's Doc Rivers, I believe. I think Doc Rivers is a fantastic coach.
Wow.
He's too good a coach because I love him as an analyst. I wish he'd come back to the TV. But they do not – that's a good way to put it. They don't care who they're playing. They don't care that that's the Warriors. I think they relish the fact that it's the Warriors, to tell you the truth. And for a team that gave up their best player, you thought it was like a waving the white flag, but they've improved
pretty much. Like I said, John, I even think it was intentionally meant to be that. The trade deadline, like, okay, buyers and sellers, well, we'll go ahead and tank the rest of the year, trade our best player. Like I said, they got two first-rounders in exchange for Harris. They're like, all right, we'll just play out the string. And suddenly they saw this just amazing chemistry emerge with the new parts that came in, Shamet and a couple other guys. Okay, very viable members that helped. In fact, they put Shamet in the starting lineup right away. They needed players. And everyone else, and suddenly you give Gilgeous Alexander more run, and he becomes of age quicker than he might have otherwise. And then you get some of the other guys, like you mentioned. To me, it's kind of funny. I have a ragtag group, like Danilo Gallinari. I always find him funny. We're like, the guy doesn't seem like he should be a 20-point-per-game scorer in the NBA. He looks slow. He's just a bulldog, though.
He's a shot maker.
Yeah, but when he gets the ball, he's just going to mow guys over. Yep. Like, he can create space. But, yeah, he looks nothing special athletically. And then you mentioned, I mean, I had no idea. I'll admit, you'll see the Clippers play that often these days since they've faded out of view a little bit. I had no idea Montrezl Harrell was this good. I knew he put up great numbers.
He's playing well.
But now they do that thing, John, the pick and roll, as they pulled off again the other night. If they pulled off the pick and roll and he gets half a step, if he caught it in the lane, forget it.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. And no one on the Warriors can stop him from putting it away. And Lou Williams, who I guess just recently became the all-time scorer in NBA history for bench players, that's crazy. More points coming off the bench than anyone has ever done.
Love sweet Lou.
And it's kind of funny how I was reading a pretty well-done article, I think it was the LA Times the other day, when they were talking about him, how everyone there, Patrick Beverley, everyone seems to know their role. And then the guy says, well, come to think of it, pretty much everyone on the Clippers is a role player, which is true. You realize, what would they need to take the next step, though? But all those guys who seem to play so unselfishly and so hard, if they were, through the draft or otherwise, able to land, I don't know, again, since they got rid of Tobias Harris, but like a real building block superstar type, they're not that far away.
Honestly, and it's house money, and they're
need to get Blake Griffin they're
live,
back.
Yeah, well, they're live for Kawhi Leonard, they're live for Durant, even from everything you read, and like Kenny, like you said, they I think they respect the Warriors, but they don't care that they're playing the Warriors.
They don't care,
and they might relish that fact. The only thing that's scary, I agree that they're live, is some of the comments from Klay Thompson in particular.
I saw that. He said that they don't want to just – he goes, we're not looking just to win this game.
And they have that ability. If they can flip that switch, they'll flip it and win that game by 40.
It was so awesome, by the way,
if the shots fall. Because the Clippers –
do you trust anyone?
They're shooting into an ocean. They're not missing anything.
Yeah, do you trust any team? Look at what the Warriors have done.
They've won two on the road.
Right.
Do you trust any team more than the Warriors to have shots fall, though?
Right now? Milwaukee.
I guess so. But it's – It's never fun. I agree that the Clippers are live, but it's not going to shock me if the Warriors destroy that team.
That series has just looked differently. I don't know why the Clippers are playing so carefree and confident on the road, but in L.A. it's also been different. The Warriors have had them outmatched. You know what I enjoy is just these playoff games with all the shot making. It's
and maybe it's because because you don't look – I don't know. You're on the road, so you're not as arrogant, but, I mean, they are in L.A., so it's not like it's –
The Warriors' defense has been atrocious.
Yes.
Warriors defense, forget about the shot making. They can't stop
anybody. In the last 4 minutes against the Clippers in the last game, they decided, okay, let's try and get some stops here. And it worked to varying degrees. But that sort of intensity was not seen for the first 35 minutes
of
the game.
I understand. When you've won 3 out of 4, should have been 4 out of 4, you're going to be complacent against the L.A. Clippers in the 1-8 matchup. I understand that. So if they can hit that switch, which I think they can, it's a scary proposition, even if it is 10 points, the better against them.
But I just like to see the high skill level. To me, it's interesting. Like, as much as I love college basketball, it's kind of frustrating to see, for a long time, you see a pretty low-level quality of play. Guys just getting nervous, and they're missing free throws, and they're turning it over. And finally, when the absolute best teams emerge, the Final Four, you see some high-quality play sometimes. But what I like about this, again, it's the NBA playoffs, so there are higher stakes on the line. But they have those little microphones in the baskets, and it's when the shot goes in, get to hear the swish. But I thought the game two, when the Clippers made that, still ridiculous, a historic 31-point comeback. Who saw that coming, the last one? But to me, it's just a pleasure to watch them, see them go both ends of these shots for 30 feet out, and they just rip the net, and you hear it.
Yeah.
Like, this is what pro basketball is all about. I mean, they're playing for the highest stakes, and nothing phases these guys at all. You know, they put it up in this offensive production. And I will say, I'd rather see these 135 to 130 games than 89 to 72
sure.
like we used to.
You know, the Clippers won game one lost game one at Golden State, 121-104. Then they come back and they won game two, as everybody remembers. They won that game 135-131. They go back home and absolutely get dismantled, 132-105.
That's what I'm saying right there.
132-105. Yeah. Then Golden State beats
them. I've been the Warriors.
Then Golden State beats them again, 113-105.
And that one was like kind of close, but never in doubt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then now you have the Clippers beating Golden State again at Golden State, 129-121. So, and it's like you said,
I'm betting the Warriors.
It's. I think I just talked myself into it too.
Yeah.
And it just you just look at this game and one team has exceeded expectations.
Yeah.
And one team is the best basketball team in the world.
Yes.
First or second, depending on how you feel about Milwaukee.
No, there's until otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they have the best talent. And, you know, this is one of those, it's a great story, and it really is. The only thing that, you know, Golden State has to win one of two. Is the urgency this game?
Yeah,
it is?
It absolutely is. Steve Kerr is not going to let this go to a game seven.
No, I don't care.
By the way,
you know, with my theory of the lottery, though, the Clippers should get an extra ping pong ball for every win.
That's a
good
theory.
Win in this playoff series, give them an extra ping pong ball. Because when you're on the fringe and you're trying
not
to
win. Not just every eight seed.
That's what I said. That's my general theory.
All right, Josh, we got to go to commercial. Sorry, okay. So hard that. So this is one of those times where we have to break off a little bit early and go to traffic. So we're going to hold this thought. We have lots of basketball, lots of sports to talk about. We'll be back at these messages. ESPN 94.5 FM. All right, welcome back to Wim Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel, John the Hawk Stevens. Like the show at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, or you can follow Josh's stuff on sportsline.com. So here we are talking about Game 6 of the Golden State Clippers series. Series tied 3-2. Golden State going on the road, coming off a 129-121 loss, going on the road laying 10. 10-130, John.
I think you and I, Kenny, just talked ourselves into betting the Warriors.
I did it already. I did it on the break.
I'm about to do it.
I did. I just think that, and with the smooth thing with the mobile sports app is that in-game wagering, I think that worst case scenario, if I don't like the way it's going, I might be able to get off of it. I mean, I kind of find it hard to believe, and knock on wood, that I don't think the Clippers are going to come out and just take them to the woodshed two games in a row.
I think it's going to be a repeat of game three. After the Clippers still won in Golden State, I think it's going to be the same style of game. I really do. I loved what Klay Thompson had to say about.
We just don't want to win this game.
Yeah,
because we want to beat him by 30.
And I believe that. And if anybody can do it, it's those guys.
Yeah,
I like how he's coming into his own as well, sort of the spokesman of the team. Because the whole thing with Durant and like Steph's not terribly. I mean. He's not like surly or anything, but he's not great. But it's kind of funny. But Clay's becoming sort of the outspoken guy to give you a real answer. And I thought it was great, John, because how often do you hear players admit to this? And I will say it's next to never. When the other night, when the Clippers won, and said, so what do you think? Were you looking ahead to the Rockets had just beaten the Jazz,
yeah.
A game whose outcome was known as the Warriors took the court. So is there any thought that you guys were kind of looking ahead? And Ken, 10 times out of 10, everybody, no, we just didn't show up, whatever. He said, yep. He goes, we were looking forward. He says, sorry. He goes, I hate to admit it, but we already were. We had our mind set on the Rockets, and we totally took the Clippers. We totally disrespected
angle,
the Clippers,
Josh.
And we got what we deserved.
Great angle.
Yeah.
They can't lose this game and extend the Rockets' rest period.
Yeah, exactly.
They've already extended it once. If they lose this game and go to Game 7, not only they're in jeopardy of losing this series, because Game 7, team's already won three games.
The Warriors and Clay in particular have enough equity built up that you can be honest and
exactly.
Say stuff
but
like that.
I think it's just super refreshing to hear an athlete actually admit that. Yeah. But by and large, they would normally say, oh, no, we were ready. Oh, you know, they would just say, oh, the Clippers just outplayed us, but we were ready. He said, yeah, our heads were somewhere else.
Yeah, he's my favorite of that big four right there. I like them all. I'm a fan of all of them.
He does a good
Except
job.
Except for maybe Durant.
I hate KD. KD is right behind LB. I hate KD, then it's LB.
I mean, these are the two greatest players of this generation.
I hate LD. I hate LB first, then KD second.
Yeah.
I hate LeBron James more than any player in all of basketball. Yeah. And then Kevin Durant.
This has been a rough era for you because those are the
next question.
Clearly the two best players.
Next question. Yeah. Next question.
Did you hate Russell Westbrook?
Well, I loved it.
I love Russell Westbrook.
Well, he has. I think he has an issue with that particular reporter.
Not as much as I love Damian Lillard, though.
He's been doing it to all of them. For what's worth, I like Westbrook as well. But
I think it's wrong.
He did not play well at all.
I think it's wrong. I do think it's wrong. Yeah. I think part of your multi-million dollar contract is you have to interact with the fans. Yep. You have to.
Oh, Charles, it's actually in their contract, right about too, that they can't dodge the media. I mean, they have
Barry Bonds. Media. I mean, that's the one nick against Barry, because if he would have interacted with the fans and the community and the media a lot more, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
If he flipped his hat around and smiled and everything else, like Junior, he'd be beloved just like that.
Exactly.
But you're right. It's Charles spoke about Russell that way. Listen, you have an obligation.
Yes, you do.
You signed up for this. This is what it is.
Yep.
Marshawn Lynch, I thought the same thing when he was doing that a few years ago. But
now, how awesome is he?
I know. And so is Russ, by the way.
Yeah.
But Damian Lillard has been my favorite player non-Sixer division for a long time. It's really good to see him.
I didn't realize where he went to college.
Yes, Weber.
I did not realize that.
That's a Weber State Wildcat right there.
And I remember I was reading an article, and they were saying, we have an NBA player here, and everybody was questioning him. You know, well, come on.
You remember when they played North Carolina?
Yeah. I mean, he made a name for himself.
He was a problem. He was known.
He led the nation in scoring.
Yeah.
His senior year, so he was known as
Did you see
that picture of him
smoking? You seen the picture of him?
Oh yeah, but the
that's photoshopped, right?
Yes, it is.
Thank God.
The picture of him with the just no expression on his face when there's chaos around him. Have you seen that picture
after he drilled the three?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I love that dude.
We're talking about, if you ever looked up Smoking Cutler, you know how Jay Cutler was the most unaffected athlete of all time.
Yeah.
He always just looks like he didn't care. You know he cares. I mean, it's just his.
Not really. His famous quote is, I don't care.
Well, I think he really cared. But they photoshopped.
Christian Cavallari at home.
Yeah. I watched that just because of him. He's funny.
Yeah.
So, I watch it because my girlfriend watches it. But I watch it because
Cutler's someone that watches all the Real Housewives. I can't say anything.
Well, I do too because they're on.
Yeah.
I might as well.
I know.
Let's
not go down this
beach
road.
Beach House.
Summer House.
Summer House.
Nope. Never heard of it.
Yep.
Southern Charm.
Love it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Blow Deck.
Okay. Sorry about it, fellas.
Listen, Josh. Sorry, we got.
It's the women, man.
When you spend all day watching sports, you eventually got
to. I need to see what Bethany Frankel's up to.
Yeah, exactly. Or Jax.
See if Jax lost his
Vanderpump
bartending
rules.
Job. Yeah, Vanderpump. You know.
Sorry. Anyways, way off balance. Sorry, we just lost a lot of. Probably just lost a lot of cred right there.
Or there's dudes going in their trucks right now going
Yeah.
Me too.
Girls, listening. Listen. We watch them too, so don't let your guy.
If you need a dude to watch. Watch What Happens Live with. Come down and see me at the Cal Night.
I love Andy.
Yes.
See?
Oh, boy. And I have a shot ski. So.
Oh, that's true. You
yes,
do have a shot
I do
ski.
Have a shot ski.
So we should have that. We should have the buzzword that every time we say the buzzword, you guys got to drink.
Oh, exactly.
You guys got to drink at home.
Exactly.
Today's word is.
But everybody's listening in their cars on their way home.
Oh, sorry. People are going, what in the world are these guys talking
about? Josh
is right now.
He's
still off the rails. I'm
too
down. It's
Josh, you never heard of any of these shows?
I do not watch any of the shows you refer to.
Really?
Along with
WWE. You know who Captain Lee is?
No.
Oh, from Blow Deck?
Come on now.
All right, anyways, back to sports. How do we even go? Oh, Damian Lillard.
So we're
talking Jay Cutler acting unaffected, but they photoshopped a Damian Lillard with him smoking a cigarette and a cigarette behind his ear. And I had to look at it like five or six times.
No,
I'm going,
it's shot.
That's got to be shot. But it was because I lost a lot. I was going, nah. Anyways.
Yeah, he deserves it all. He's, what, is he top five player in the NBA now, you think?
Well, it's got to be close, but it's kind of crazy. It was funny the other night because I took the points. I actually thought the Thunder would get back in the series. I took 4 points. Obviously, thankfully, they ended up covering. But later in the game, I couldn't believe it, you know, because the Thunder were pulling away. They were ahead, like 15 with like 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I can't believe this happened. Because in the first half, you could see the look at his eye. Lillard was making everything. I'm like, there's no chance. I thought I was done. I'm like, he's making everything. What? He had, a ton of points just by halftime. And then when the Blazers came storming back, I'm like, watch, he did that to Houston a few years ago. And it's just as soon as he took him, I'm like, yeah, that's going down. It's just crazy.
He's
making a reputation for himself in the postseason. And finally, you know, the nation is starting to come around to he's getting the respect he deserves.
It happened during all the Sharks hysteria, so I didn't see it live. But
yeah, I was watching that instead of the hockey.
Absolutely. So. He played it to it. You know, you talk about the NBA shot in college. That's how far it is. Now, this was the NBA shot in the NBA, meaning that it's even further back. I mean, it's basically he just rose up from – equivalent to where the N is at Nevada, if you're a Wolfpack fan, and just buried the three.
And, you know.
And just walked off like.
Paul George. Yeah,
for what it's worth, Paul George defended it, too. It wasn't
but he
like
said
it's
a horrible shot. And then Dame said, well, it's horrible defense.
Yeah. Exactly. So that being said, Clippers, Warriors tonight, 7-10. Right now, looks like the Warriors are on the road laying 10, 231. John and I, after extreme handicapping, I was neutral coming into this game. I wanted to hear opinions and things of that nature. I do think you get a big dose of the Warriors. A couple of angles that make me want to lay the 10 on the road, which I absolutely hate doing in NBA playoffs. You know, the Warriors being the better team.
I feel it's the right time.
I feel it's the right time, too. I think that, you know, with Houston clinching already, they can't afford – the Warriors cannot afford to go back to a Game 7 and give the Rockets basically a week off to prepare, to get rested, and just be at full strength before the next series starts. And I think you're right, John. I think the sense of urgency is in this game right now because you don't want to put the hand into what could happen in 48 minutes.
Yeah, you don't want to go to Game 7 and – maybe Draymond does something stupid and
gets
tossed.
Curry,
Steph hurts an ankle.
Exactly. That only puts you out for the game. You know, not a permanent injury, but anything. Foul trouble, early foul trouble, anything.
And the way Coach Kerr was talking about their defense with such disgust after the game five, I think they come out and have a defensive effort as well. So,
all right.
Everything to me is pointing to the Warriors.
All right, two games tomorrow real quick. How much time we got? We got plenty of time. 76ers, Raptors open up the series tomorrow. Raptors at home laying 6. Totals 223, John.
Yeah.
Huge Sixer fan.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about what's going on in Philly right now?
It's not a great matchup for the Sixers. It's just not. They don't play the Raptors well. It's just I don't know what it is. You would think Embiid would have an easier time down low, but you know, now you got Marc Gasol. You have to deal with here. So I don't have a lot of I mean, I have hope, but I don't see the Sixers coming out of this series. I really don't.
It's one of those things, though.
This game in particular, I think they have a chance to win, though.
Given all their postseason struggles, I mean, that's one of those things. Until I see it, you know, when you believe it when you see it type of thing, even with LeBron out of the East, it just seems like the Raptors have such a history of coming up short in the playoffs. With the Sixers, as well stocked as they are and as confident as they play, I think they come out of the series. As you mentioned, with this one, especially laying.
You think the Sixers do?
The Raptors laying 6 points in this game. Like, give me a break. I mean, I'll take the Sixers in this game.
Like Sixers
do you have
game.
A series? What's a series price?
They opened up. Oh, actually, excuse me. I apologize. I actually was looking at the wrong one. I was looking at the San Diego-Denver series. I need to go back and look at the Sixers series. San Antonio. Oh. Sorry, my bad. 76ers, Raptors. Here we go right here. I think it's 250, Josh. Oh, actually, it was. No, I wrote it down right. It opened. It was at minus 250 when I first looked this morning with the Raptors, and it's moved to minus 270.
Yeah.
So we're seeing money come in on Toronto.
You know who this is up to is Jimmy Butler. I think if Jimmy Butler can win the matchup versus Kyle Lowry, which he is absolutely capable of, I think the Sixers have a really decent shot at that. So, I don't know. This is a different Sixer team than before. Last year, I would have thought they would have had no shot. I know they have a shot. I just don't feel great about
that
shot.
By and large, they got them outgunned. I mean, I think the Sixers per man have better players than the Raptors.
Not depth-wise, probably. The best player on the court is going to be Kawhi Leonard at all times. You have Embiid there, Simmons, Butler, Tobias.
Harris.
J.J. Redick's playing well. I mean, the Sixers have a puncher's chance. It just has not been a good matchup for them. But I'll be there.
6.5, 223 tomorrow. Raptors at home lane, 6.5, 223. John, you're going to – you think
I like
the Steelers?
I like the Sixers tomorrow to keep this game close, possibly win it.
Josh?
Yeah, I like that as well. Like I said, to this point, it's been proven too. Like the Raptors last year, when they played the Cavs, granted, after slipping up, they ended up dominating – the Orlando Magic, but I'm not laying points with them against good teams in the playoffs. It's just not working out.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're right. I hope it's never been a good matchup for the Sixer team.
All right, let's head off to our last commercial break. Come back. We still have two more basketball games this weekend. The Handicap, William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back for the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show. Been handicapping basketball. We talked a little bit about the Golden State Warriors and the Clippers game tipping off a little bit later at 7:10. Right now, the Warriors going on the road laying 10, 231.5. JD and I tend to lean towards the Warriors a little bit tonight, laying the 10 on the road just because of the urgency factor. Josh, did you end up weighing in on that game?
Yeah, I do as well. Like I said, it's a ton of points. I mean, double figures to close out.
Usually I don't.
With the home dog.
Yeah, it's Warriors, bro.
Yeah, and you're right. In the NBA, too, historically, it would be a spot where you want that home dog. But the way this series has ebbed and flowed, I think it's, you know, I'd lean toward Golden State. But another one, Ken, 232.5. I think this would – I like this actually under because I do believe the Golden State defensive intensity will be there.
Josh, look at it this way. The Warriors are legitimately considered one of the greatest teams of all time playing the Clippers right now.
Oh, no, I get that. But like I said, they lost twice as 14-point chalks in Oakland. They lost to them.
I understand. I get that, too.
Look at and like,
if the Clippers have their attention, they're going to be dealt with.
I agree. The way this series ebbed and flows, this one caused for a Warriors blowout. And just look at the last game they played in L.A. We're like, oh, the Clippers did everything they could to get back in that game. And they just couldn't, you know, match.
Tied up, so Josh. Here you go.
I do believe.
Did he really?
There you go. A's, two-run homer.
I do believe the spread could – I mean, so many points, John. I do believe the spread could be close. But like I said, look, if the Warriors just show up with – the defense that they played in the last half of the last quarter,
yeah.
I mean, come on, that's a ton of points. I look at things like this. One, you know, again, 115 to 110 is an under. Ken, that's a huge – I think maybe we just need to go under.
All right, good deal. Second game we talked about.
Paul Sutter special.
There you go.
Oh, lane, yeah, the chalk lane. And under. There yeah. we go.
Big chalk and under. No, not just chalk. Big chalk and
yes,
under.
That's right. Double figure chalk and under.
Yep.
76ers, Raptors. Raptors opening up the game one tomorrow at home versus Philadelphia, minus six, 223. John and Josh both leaned a little bit towards Philadelphia. They think it's a good spot for them to steal a game and stay close. There's one more game tomorrow, too. San Antonio and Denver. Denver are laying six tomorrow with a total of 209. Thoughts on that game, guys?
Ken, I think this one's an interesting series because both, you know, the Nuggets are like trying to break through. They've got right now, especially compared to the Spurs, I mean, you know, they've got the talent edge there. You got Jokic coming into being just a true superstar. Jamal Murray, I like the Nuggets, just how they're emerging. They're kind of a neat again, one of these sort of younger teams that's coming along. They're fun to watch. The Spurs are kind of in a rebuild mode after all their dynasty guys are retired. And they're just trying to find the right pieces. And it's pretty crazy that they even made the playoffs this year. Because overall, as NBA teams are concerned, the Spurs aren't, you know, extremely talented or anything. But it's just an interesting how this series has ebbed and flowed. I had the Spurs last night. Put it this way. I thought, you know, on their home court, Greg Popovich in a game six, they're going to find a way to further this series, even though, you know, on paper they probably shouldn't. So you get back here to where Denver is where they've had a huge home court advantage, best home record in the NBA. And you wonder, do the Spurs have it in them, though, to just be a nuisance and hang on right there?
Well, you mentioned it, Greg
Popovich. I know. It's so close. But here's the funny thing. But the last couple games, though, they've sort of wilted in that pressure. And you wonder, do they have, again, just the chops to do that one more time? And here's what I think is ultimately no. I think the Spurs will hang around and give them a scare. But I do think the Nuggets pull away in this one.
That's what I think is the Nuggets are going to win a tight game. Which, with free throws and the way stuff goes, it could be tight the whole game, and you could cover that 6.5
exactly.
No problem. So it's a scary proposition for that as well. But Greg Popovich in a scenario like this, I know Tim Duncan's not walking through that door. I know Manu and Tony Parker aren't walking through that door. George Gervin, but man, I'm gonna have a problem betting against the Spurs in a scenario like this.
I do too. But what's funny is I've had trouble with it in the past as well. But sometimes it's the right thing.
Isn't it amazing what he can do? Isn't it really just absolutely that amazing? I mean,
it's fundamental basketball.
He's made the playoffs, what, 2020, was it 22 years?
Every year he's been their coach.
Something crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and like you said, no, he went through Tim Duncan. He's went through Tony Parker.
Yeah,
everyone wondered, too, could he – this guy really – I think he did partly to prove a point because everyone wondered, could he
trade
actually
Kawhi
coach,
Leonard.
Could he coach without Tim Duncan on his roster? And he's proven it. And it's a pretty much a ragtag group of guys. I still don't know who, like, his point guard is, the guy with the big forehead. And he's pretty good. I don't even know the guy's name. They got DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard. And they have, think about it, John. Also, LaMarcus Aldridge, who, by the way, Leonard, wanted to become a malcontent a couple years ago, said, I don't even want to play because apparently he doesn't like getting coached hard. He somehow turned them around. So you got NBA standards, two decent players that people know of, Aldridge and DeRozan, and that's it. Everyone else on the court, you don't even know who they are. I mean, again, like, you know, G League, whatever, guys who were called up and laying around draft picks, and somehow it's got to fight, too, because they ended up being the seventh seed, but as late as 2 weeks to go in the season, they could have been, like, you know, fourth or fifth.
There's a lot of similarities with the way Popovich develops players and the way Belichick develops players. That you just, how many Hall of Famers in this run, the Patriots might win seven Super Bowls, They're going to have three, four Hall of Famers? Is
that's,
it?
I've been saying that this whole time. I mean, literally.
And that's if you consider, I mean, obviously Brady. Vince Wilfork, maybe?
Yeah.
Richard Seymour?
Randy Moss.
I Ty mean, Law's there, in, right?
Therefore,
Randy
years.
Moss, I guess, but it's, you know, I, no,
John,
you equate him as a Viking.
Yeah, no, but really, no.
Julian Edelman?
Julian Edelman?
He's in the conversation.
What are we talking about here?
What running back? Okay, Gronk.
Kevin Falk.
Gronk,
okay,
for sure.
But what running back and what wide receiver are going in with Brady? With Montana, look who you got.
Yes.
With Bradshaw, look who you got.
Yes.
With Aikman, look who you got.
Yes.
I mean, just that's just crazy that nobody's there.
It really is. It's,
and that's, and that's hard for you to say.
It's the worst. And it's the way the Spurs are. It's, yeah, just it's the I mean, obviously you have Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. I get that part, but right now, to still be viable, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And what's funny too is I love to just, like you said, the fundamentals. And I get tired too of Popovich's shtick sometimes. I think he's way too surly. He needs to stop taking himself so seriously and lighten up. And you know what's funny? I mean, that whole thing, it gets old. But I respect his coaching skill. Where it is, this is the purest form. The NBA, these are the most gifted guys, and we know the highest paid and the way it's sort of, you know, orchestrated to just be entertainment-based. Okay. But I love seeing it, and I've seen some of the coaching clinics he's done online or whatnot. But just to see, you know, the fundamentals win out, we're seriously paying attention to detail, makes such a difference. And he really does have this sort of a, you know, obscure collection, yeah, of guys, and here they are pushing, you know, second-best team in the West to Game 7.
And he's a real smart, opinionated guy. I don't agree with a lot of those opinions, but I like the way he goes about putting his time and his efforts where his mouth is about causes that he cares about.
And Josh Rosen just got traded to Miami.
To Miami? Okay, yeah. I saw that was brewing all day long.
Yeah.
All right.
So, one more game we got to get through.
That'll put him over the
edge.
I'm
excited. The finals in the East and the West. I mean, it's shaping up like it's going to be Golden State and Houston. But what about Milwaukee and Boston? I mean,
man, oh man, that's going to be a fun series.
Milwaukee 7.5 this game Sunday, 223. Boston,
dude, give me the Celtics.
Boston to win. It's 17-1 to win this whole thing. I mean, I'm with you, John. I mean, you get these young teams. Milwaukee is young compared to Boston. Boston was in the finals last year.
Yeah.
You know, with that being said, I mean, everybody's just kind of just, forget about Boston. You know,
in the Eastern Conference Finals, not in the.
Right.
Not in
excuse me. That's what I meant. But being, you know, that being said, I mean, just I'm looking at this Milwaukee laying 7.5.
Seven and a half is
a ton of points.
It's forever right there. And just how battle-tested this Celtics team is. You remember, they did that stuff last year without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward.
Yes.
So now that you have them, I think Kyrie is an absolute difference maker, don't you? I mean,
he totally is, John. That's the thing. You know, you waited for the Celtics all year, and it was weird. They have various injuries or whatnot, and then they seem to have some discontent or whatever, and you wondered, hey, what's going on? Like Brad Stevens, it seemed like he did better when when they were all disrespected, yeah, guys, no one knew, is he capable of handling
Terry Rozier and Allen Iverson.
Exactly. The ragtag bunch, like, he seemed better suited to that. Like, now when you got a superstar, you know, Kyrie, who may, again, be on sort of the malcontent list and some other egos colliding, like, you know, can you pull this up?
Nuts.
But when they started, like, toward the end of the year, when the Celtics finally started coming together, you look at them, and I seriously wondered it when they were at their best. Is this the best team in the East? They might be. It's a fascinating series, though.
I think they might be, too.
Now when
I hate them.
But I love watching Milwaukee play,
yeah,
right,
man,
now. That,
when they get it going, like I said, yeah,
I can't even say the kid's name.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I can't say it, but that guy.
And he's so unique, and he's so different than anybody you see. You know, even he's a bigger physical specimen than LeBron James.
And he can't
is.
Be stopped. I was going to say that as well, because with – you look at that, and granted, LeBron is crazy. Let's face it, he's in the twilight of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, he's at, whatever, almost 35. He's going to be declining a little bit. So when you look at who physically dominates the game now, and Harden, whether you like him or not, you know, he's effective. But in terms of pure physical dominance, like I said, there's no way he can be stopped. Remember, again, we talked about a couple weeks ago.
He's what Ben Simmons was supposed to be. Not that
right.
Ben Simmons isn't a great player, he is.
When it was funny, though, when they played, and there wasn't much on the line, when the Bucks played the Sixers.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just crazy. I was bummed
going
out.
Back and forth?
Yes, because I had the Sixers,
yes,
and they ended up not covering right,
yes,
at the end. It was crazy. But for some reason, they left Simmons on an island just here to guard Giannis. And it just doesn't even matter. With the rules, like I said, whether it's restricted area and the key, the rules against double teaming, all that kind of stuff. Giannis, I mean, physically, he's unstoppable. So he gets the ball, and it doesn't matter who he goes against. He just seriously goes through guys.
Or around. But I've seen him go around them.
Through. He'll do both, right. But like I said, poor Ben Simmons just got eaten alive. But it's like, hey, every single play, he just backed him down and then, like, you know, threw it in or dunked or layup. And he ended up with, like, 40-odd points, the quietest 40 points you've ever seen. But I just mean this way.
How about the way they turned it on in the third quarter after just struggling the whole game?
Yeah.
I was just because I laid the points in that game, and I was like, and I thought I was in trouble.
That was the other way, Ken. I took 12, and I thought the Detroit's going to show up one time. They're up six at halftime, and listen, I ended up losing.
Bucks appear to have a different gear as well.
They do. God bless. I tell you what, Blake Griffin and what he showed in that game in a 3-0 series where he's hobbled and he played the entire game, and I love what Blake Griffin did. So real quick. Yep. John, let's go over these games real quick.
Yes.
Tonight, we like the Warriors a little bit at minus 10.
Like the Warriors a lot.
Josh, you like the under a lot.
I do like the under.
All right, tomorrow we have 76ers Raptors. I think you guys both agree that it's the Sixers' time in this spot.
Keeping
so
it close.
Maybe taking plus 6.5 in that game.
Correct.
Yep. Any thoughts on the total at 223?
Over.
Over? You like Sixers play over at home, John?
Yep,
or on the road, I mean?
They play over, period.
They do?
Yeah.
They don't play any defense.
No, they play defense, but they play fast.
Okay.
So.
And then the last game tomorrow, we have a Denver and San Antonio. Denver laying 6, totals 209. You think that Denver gets it done, or you think Pop's going to keep it close?
I think both things are going to happen. The Nuggets win the game, but Pop keeps it close.
Josh?
Yeah, that's a tough one, but, again, I think the Nuggets will cover.
All right, and the last game on Sunday, Boston-Milwaukee. Milwaukee laying 7.5, total 223.
I hate saying these words, but give me the Celtics.
You don't have to bet. Don't force it.
I'd probably only take the Bucks right now until further notice.
All right. Might as well get you guys a parting shot on the Sharks game tonight, guys. John, Sharks.
Oh, man. Just weather the storm early. You're the better team.
Sharks. Isn't it weird to say that? Weather the storm at home.
Yep. Honestly.
But I see what you're saying. Emotional letdown.
Yes, it is.
So you like the Sharks a little bit? I've been getting some texts and tweets while we were on the show. A lot of people like the over in that game.
It's our year, man. Come on.
A lot of people like the over in that game. Josh, real quick.
A good UFC card tomorrow night. So check that out, too. Fight night, 150.
All right, good deal. Maybe
Wolfpack spring game tomorrow.
That's true. What time does it start?
I don't know.
All right. Good luck, everybody. Do all your sports wagering with William Hill. Download the ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5.